Any other questions before we start asking questions?
None for me.
Okay. Cool beans. Away we go. It's time to drop the puck on the sports trivia face-off. That's right. You have downloaded Season 2, Episode 24 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts. The other host is Aaron. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I am good, but I bet I'm not as good as you.
I have had a darn good week, I will say that. Even without going to the parade yesterday. And you can listen to our Patreon episode to find out more about how I was doing. But that was pretty exciting, I have to admit. We are here with Tucker and Greg. Greg, you are a new contestant, so I'm going to let you go first. Would you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Greg. I'm a host of a hockey podcast called Blue Shirts Breakaway. From Connecticut, but grew up in New York for the most part. Big Met fan, big Ranger fan. Spent too much time following sports when I should have been studying for school. So hopefully that actually pays off for once in a while.
All right. And Tucker, welcome back. You've been on the show once or twice before?
Just once before, but happy to make appearance number two here.
All righty. And refresh our audience's minds about you, please.
Oh, how could they forget about me? I am a sports blogger, trivia writer, do a little of this, little of that. Big time sports fan, though, of course. And I love the show, so I'm happy to be on whenever I can.
Alrighty, thank you. And now that we know the contestants, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
And Greg, as the new contestant, I'm going to give you the privilege of calling heads or tails to determine who goes first in the first period.
Well, I'm told tails never fails, so let's go tails.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
It's tails.
Hey.
Tails is correct. Greg, you have the option of going first in the first period or deferring once you hear the categories. That will determine who goes first in the second period, and whoever's trailing will go first in the third period. Greg, here are your categories, and you can play these or pass them to Tucker. Your first round categories are We Built This City, Starship, or Ice Ice Baby.
God, can't really be a hockey podcaster if I don't take Ice Ice Baby, right? Is that a rock?
Ice Ice Baby. These are five questions about the recent NHL playoffs.
Oh, probably should have watched those then.
Number one, what team swept the top-seeded Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round?
That was the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Correct, for 10 points. Number two, if you've been watching the playoffs, you'd know that which of the major television networks is currently in its eighth of a 10-year contract to broadcast the NHL in the United States?
NBC Sports Network, and God, I hope they wish they got some better analysts than Mike Milbury.
Don't we all?
You don't love Pierre Maguire?
No, I don't. I don't, but I bet you he knew what junior high school ice hockey team my neighbor played for.
I'm not exactly a Pierre fan either, so... Uh-oh, what happened here? Okay. Number three, what were the only two of the original six teams to make the playoffs this year?
That would be the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins.
That is correct for another 10 points. Yeah, they faced each other in the first round.
You should probably have gotten to the Bruins a little quicker than you did.
I had to think for a second. I always forget them as an original six team.
That's fair. Number four, despite only playing in eight games, sweeping the first round and getting swept in the second, what New York Islanders goaltender posted an impressive 93.6 save percentage despite never earning a shutout?
I'm going to say Robin Lehner because I don't think he's played that well.
Robin Lehner is correct for another 10 points. You're 4 for 4. No jinx intended.
Tucker looks so mad.
I just hope to get a category as in my wheelhouse as the hockey podcast for getting a hockey category.
And number 5, this year marked only the second time in NHL history and the second time ever that what two original six teams missed the NHL playoffs in the same year?
Well, the Rangers being one, and I'm guessing the other, it's got to be the Blackhawks, right?
That is incorrect. Tucker?
Well, both of these teams are in the playoffs a lot. I'll say the Canadiens and the Red Wings.
That is correct for a 5-point rebound. Nicely done.
The Rangers miss the playoffs often.
The Blackhawks don't usually, though, which is what my thought was. But I guess the Red Wings are in the playoffs for like 16 straight years. So.
Yeah.
Tucker, we are to you. You have to choose between We Built This City or Starship.
How do you choose between those?
Carefully.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll go with We Built This City.
We Built This City. These are 5 questions over rock and roll in sports.
Okay.
Number 1, when he was part of their national championship winning squad in 1991, what position did Dwayne Johnson play for the Miami Hurricanes?
I'm pretty sure he was a defensive lineman. I don't know whether he was an end or a tackle.
That is specific enough. He was a defensive tackle or a lineman. He suffered a few injuries and then was replaced by Warren Sapp. I've heard of him.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Number 2, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, John Stockton and Karl Malone, and Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire are all pairs mentioned on what Wikipedia page under the basketball strategy category?
Well, you talk about Stockton Malone's signature play. I think of the pick and roll. So pick and roll is my answer.
Pick and roll is correct for another 10 points. Right. Rebounds might be hard to come by today, Aaron.
It's all right. It's more exciting that way.
That's right. Number 3, the most recent winner of the documentary feature Oscar was about rock climber Alex Honnold's ascent of El Capitan, which he did with no ropes, harnesses, or protection. What is the term for this kind of climbing and the name of the movie itself?
The name of the movie is Free Solo.
Free Solo is correct. You're 3 for 3 in the category.
And if you keep an ear out in our Patreon content, I go on a whole rant about how no one knows what those words mean when we talk about rock climbing.
Number 4. In an article highlighting the humor and bizarreness of his falling and rolling and screaming at the slightest of touches, what athlete's name fills in this blank of the following NPR headline from last year? Meme goals, Brazil's star blank is on a roll at the World Cup.
Until you said Brazil, I was thinking, somebody else who's famous for diving. But I do remember Neymar just rolling all over the field after a very, very slight touch. So I'll go with Neymar.
Neymar is correct. Yes, Brazilians love poking fun at their own players, especially about their grooming and obsession with looks. So in a comedic video from a few years ago, a Brazilian player takes a dive to the ground in pain and the medics run onto the field to recomb his hair. We'll be looking that video up and posting it online.
Doing it right now.
He does have nice hair. I'll give him that.
And number 5, now for rock and roll proper, what American soccer player released an album in 1998 appropriately titled Ginger?
I've got a good guess, and he seems like the type that would have put out a rock album of some sort. Is it Alexi Lalas?
It is Alexi Lalas. You swept the category 5 for 5.
Man, that guy's an ass.
Lalas has even.
Lalas, not Tucker, for the record. I just want to.
I wouldn't be insulted.
Lalas has also even opened for the Dave Matthews Band, so there you go.
That tracks.
Yeah. Now it's time for the first intermission question. I'm going to give you a musical act, and you need to tell me either of the two teams that played in the Super Bowl, which that act played at the halftime show.
Oh, my God.
Number 1, Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. Number 2, Bruce Springsteen. Number 3, Beyonce as the headliner. And number four, the combination of The Temptations, Martha Reeves, Smokey Robinson, Queen Latifah, and Boys to Men. While these guys think about that, here is a super rock and roll promo. Please support the STFO so that Aaron can afford more alcohol and we can have there even more entertaining promos.
Yeah. High-end tequila is not cheap. This girl's not drinking rock gut.
We are back with the guys' answers. We're going to name a musical group that did a Super Bowl halftime show, and they need to tell us either of the teams that played in that Super Bowl. Number one, we'll start with Greg. Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
I remember this pretty vividly. It was when I was in high school. So that means early 2000s. And I'm just going to say that odds are the New England Patriots were playing in the Super Bowl when Janet Jackson's boob came flying out.
And Tucker?
That's correct. They played against my Carolina Panthers.
Tucker had them both. No extra credit for that. Both of you get 5 points. Tucker, to you, Bruce Springsteen.
This is the one I got stuck on because most of these, I at least vaguely remember the halftime show. And like, I imagine Springsteen played Born to Run, but it just isn't in my memory. So I guess that these were the Indianapolis Colts.
And Greg?
I think it was a Patriots Giants Super Bowl that Springsteen played. So I'm going to say the Giants this time.
Neither one get points on that one. That was the Steelers versus the Cardinals. Mm.
Oh, I didn't watch that halftime show. That's why I don't remember.
Number three to Greg, Beyonce as the headliner.
Well, I was going to say Steelers Cardinals for this one. So I won't this time. I'm going to go Denver Broncos.
And Tucker?
The Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens played the 49ers that year. Tucker picks up 5 points.
I've known that one as a fake 49er fan, but that isn't my life.
And Tucker, the last one, The Temptations, Martha Reeves, Smokey Robinson, Queen Latifah, and Boys to Men.
Well, Boys to Men and Queen Latifah makes me think early 90s, so I just went with a statistically safe one and said the Buffalo Bills. I have no idea, actually.
And Greg?
I'm going to go, if we want to go safe in early 90s, I'll take the Dallas Cowboys.
That is also incorrect. That was the Broncos versus the Packers.
Oh, late 90s. Oh, wow. NFL listened to Boys to Men a lot longer than anybody else did, I guess.
That's funny. After the first intermission question, Tucker has a 20-point lead, 65 to 45 over Greg. That's not much of a lead at all. And for the second period, I turn it over to Aaron.
Hello, gentlemen. All right, Tucker, you can choose from the following categories. I Love Booty, Smack That, or Get Your Hair Did.
It's another round of categories where I don't really have a read on what any of them could be.
That's kind of Ryan's brand.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the booty one is about obscure USC quarterbacks. Other than that, I think I'll go with Smack That.
All right. This is five questions about fights in athletics.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a 1 in 3 chance of being something weird. Well, no, it's got 3 in 3 chance of being something weird. Number one. What team won the Malice at the Palace game in 2004?
Who actually won? Say the home team, Pistons.
That is incorrect, Greg.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there was only one other team playing that night, and that would be Ron Artest's Indiana Pacers.
There you go.
Yeah, 50-50 chance.
Yep. That's the one downside of these rebound shots. Tim Donaghy was roughing that game and probably would have bet on the individual fights between the players and fans if he could have, says our flavor text.
Accurate.
Yep. Number two, this one's long. Buckle up. Most bench-clearing brawls in baseball are when teams are fighting each other. But on June 4th, 1974, Cleveland's manager ordered his team to grab bats and go defend the opposing Rangers from Cleveland's own fans, whose rowdiness is attributed to beer being sold super cheap. How much was beer being sold for that night?
5 cents.
Incorrect. Greg.
Damn it. I'll say a quarter, 25 cents.
Oh, you got it surrounded. The answer is 10 cents.
It was another one where I had it down to two, and I just couldn't remember.
Well, fortunately, it wasn't a 50-50 this time, so no points. Yeah. A 19-year-old fan tried to steal a Ranger's cap. The Ranger tripped. The team came out to fight the kid off. A bunch of drunk fans with chains and knives for some reason came down to fight the Rangers. Cleveland had to fight their own fans, and with the most disappointing part, the beer was only 3.2%.
Yikes. No wonder it was so cheap.
Yeah. Number three. What man's batting average dropped 20 points in the same season that Nolan Ryan put him in a headlock and beat the shit out of him?
Finally, one I actually remember. This is Robin Ventura.
It is Robin Ventura. Number four.
That is the best moment in baseball history for me, as far as I'm concerned.
You might be watching baseball for the wrong reasons.
Well, I'm a hockey fan, so.
True. Number four. What Texas Ranger player punched the bat-flipping Jose Bautista right in the face, making him a hero to everybody everywhere?
I'm a Bautista fan, so I guess not everybody. but this was Rougned Odor.
Absolutely was. Thank you for not making me pronounce that. And number five. What stupid racist moron for the Tennessee Titans? God, Brian got really heated writing these questions. What stupid racist moron for the Tennessee Titans got his ass beat by the Texans' Andre Johnson in a game in late November 2010?
Ooh. Who was that?
You're looking for a stupid racist moron.
I remember him being involved in a fight. I don't know if it was this one. Was it Cortland Finnegan?
It was Cortland Finnegan.
Oh my God, okay.
Nice job. All right. Greg, we are to you. Your categories are Get Your Hair Did or I Love Booty.
I mean, it would be me lying if I didn't take I Love Booty. So we're going to go with that one.
It is important to be true to your principles. Number
there
one.
There you go.
These are five categories about pirate-themed sports teams. So, sorry.
Fantastic.
Number one. What disco classic by Sister Sledge was the Pittsburgh Pirates theme song during their 1979 World Series winning season?
Oh, that would be the We Are Family Pittsburgh Pirates.
It would be indeed. Number two, within 1 year in either direction, what year saw the Seton Hall Pirates men's basketball team lose the NCAA championship game to Michigan? With apologies to Phil Sanford.
I know it wasn't the Fab Four teams. It was in the 80s. I don't know the year, but there are 10 of them. So I'm going to go with 1982.
That is incorrect. You did have 1 in 10 chance. Tucker, what is your 1 in 10 guess?
I think it was 1989.
Better guess. That is correct for 5 points.
Damn Michigan Wolverines. Always bringing a man down.
Number three. What are the two main colors of East Carolina University's athletic teams?
Purple and gold?
Yep. Mm-hmm. For 10 points. Good job. Number four. What Buccaneers defensive player was named to a team record 11 Pro Bowls between 1997 and 2008?
I don't think we're going to have two Warren Sapp references in one show. So I'm going to go with Derek Brooks.
Excellent instinct. It is Derek Brooks. Although stranger things have happened. Pro Bowls is really difficult to say, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And number five, Los Malosos, M-A-L-O-S-O-S, is the nickname given to the Mexican fan base of what team?
I'm going to go the Dodgers.
Dodgers is incorrect. Tucker?
Anything like pirate themed in California?
Oh, I forgot the theme of the guy. I'm an idiot. fantastic. Well done, Greg.
Oakland Raiders or LA Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders or wherever they are?
Yes. The Oakland Raiders. Raiders is the team we were looking for.
What a moron.
Well, for a while I was thinking of like Mexican League soccer teams and I was like, but which ones of them are named after pirates? And then realized I was reading it totally incorrectly too. So
we had one, oops, I put the wrong column. We had one a couple months ago where the category was like guys named Bob and the poor guy guessed like every name, but Bob, it was painful.
That was your first episode as I remember.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And whoever it was, his opponent was screaming like, remember the category.
Yeah.
Categories, Bob's.
I think we even titled the episode, What's the Category, Mike?
That's what it was, Mike. Yeah. Yep. So, Greg, you are not alone. You're not the first one to do that.
Well, thank God for that.
Here's your consolation. All right. And on that note, we are moving into the second intermission. Your category is FIFA Women's World Cup. I want you to give me the four most recent runners-up in the FIFA Women's World Cup. That's an enthusiastic response going into this. Well, while Greg tries to name some countries, here's Scrambling Cats, also a promo.
Hey, Ryan, why should people give us iTunes reviews?
Well, if you give us iTunes reviews, we can have many good things happen out of it. There will be exposure for the show, which means more views and listens for us, which means a stronger community for the place, as well as more listens and everything like that. Also, if you do that, we get more money to buy Aaron alcohol, Brent mixer, and me all the meth I could ever want.
I'm sold.
Greg, I'm going to start with you. What four countries did you think of?
I think the last World Cup was Japan. Before that, the United States. And then I'm just going to say France and Sweden for my two other countries.
Okay. And Tucker, what four countries did you say?
I also had Japan and the United States, but I followed those up with Canada and Australia.
Okay. The four most recent FIFA Women's World Cup winners in 2015, Japan. In 2011, the United States. In 2007, Brazil. And in 2003, Sweden. So in spite of everything, Greg managed to pull out 15 points from that. Tucker picked up 10. Tight game. Greg has 95. Tucker has 115. It is still anybody's game. Brent, back to you.
We have two really good players here. That's good. Greg, you are trailing just barely, so you have the choice in the third period of these categories. Stick it to the man, gobble gobble, or don't get so defensive.
Gobble gobble. I have a feeling this is going to be about like Thanksgiving Day football games for the NFL. So we're going to go with stick it to the man because I don't know why. I have no rationale whatsoever.
Stick it to the man. These are five questions about stick things in sports.
I'm excited.
Number one, though very rarely seen or called, what is the ice hockey penalty known as butt ending?
I'm going to say that's when you take the butt end of your stick and just hit some guy in the face. Is that most penalties in the NHL?
That's pretty much the gist of it, correct, for 10 points.
It probably also wouldn't be called in the playoffs, though.
No.
Penalties in the playoffs? Nope. Are you kidding?
That's what was so great about the Game 7. There was only one penalty the whole game.
The game was over, like, quickly. It wasn't a four-hour affair. I could get to bed at a reasonable time. I liked that.
Yeah, there were no penalties. There were a lot of long passages in play. Mm-hmm. Number three, from 2006 to 2010, the Major League Baseball, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and Louisville Slugger agreed to dye bats pink for games played on what day?
That would be Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is correct for another 10 points. Number three, in golf, what convenience does a fetch putter allow?
I'm gonna say that's the putter that goes all the way up to your chest, so you don't have the longer stick handle.
That is incorrect. Tucker?
Does this like let you get the ball back really easily, like ball retrieval?
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah, it retrieves the ball from the hole.
I was thinking of the physical putter and not the apparatus that gets you the ball back, but I guess the word fetch is in there, so that makes perfect sense.
The belly putters are designed to allow you to putt despite not being any good at putting.
Exactly.
That's why I have one. If only they made those for all the other clubs, too. I might actually be okay at golf.
That's what they make golden tee for.
I was really frustrated because I never had time or the money to play golf. But on the times I do, I've never had a hard time hitting a golf ball well. So I feel like if I had the resources, I could have been really good at it.
I'm really good at hitting it hard, and that's the only thing I can do. So my short game is terrible. But off the tee, I'm great.
As someone who plays golf often, save your money. That's my advice.
Also good advice.
Save my money so I can spend entirely too much of it on Blue Stanley Cup gear.
No such thing as too much money on Blue Stanley Cup gear.
Oh, yes, there is. Trust me on that one. Number four. Traditionally, cricket bats are made out of what wood?
Oh, boy. Why did I pick this? Gobble gobble was such a better category. Jesus. I'm going to say ash.
Ash is incorrect. Tucker?
Go with something else they make baseball bats out of, I guess. Maple?
Maple's also incorrect. They make them out of willow.
Okay. That's a sure. Trick, for sure.
You learned something today. That might be the first question all game that neither guy got.
Yeah.
Number five, what is the name of the event held every year during spring and summer in Scotland that prominently features the caber toss?
Is that hurling?
That is incorrect. Tucker?
Is that Highland Games or something like that? Highland Games.
That is absolutely correct. The Highland Games.
Seriously?
Yes.
I thought I just made that up.
No, your subconscious pulled it from somewhere.
We ask about that every like 8 to 10 episodes. There's a Highland Games question.
Maybe yeah. That was it. Maybe there's like a Groundskeeper Willie reference on The Simpsons or something, and that's where I got it from. But either way, I didn't know that was actually a thing.
Tucker, we are to you. You have to choose between gobble gobble or don't get so defensive.
Non-zero chance that Gobble Gobble is about bad Ben Affleck movies. So I'm going to go with Don't Get So Defensive instead.
Don't Get So Defensive. These are five questions about defense. Stomp, stomp. Defense. Stomp, stomp. I didn't write it. I'm only reading it, doing my duty.
I feel like we only encourage him by reading everything he writes.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to take that under consideration and discuss it at our next staff meeting.
I feel like all of Ryan's text is flavor text.
Number one, because of his French heritage and defensive abilities, what Utah Jazz center earned the nickname the Stifle Tower?
That would be Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert is correct for 10 points. Number two, what Swede won 7 Norris trophies for top NHL defensemen between 2001 and 2011.
It sounds like you're describing Nicklas Lidström.
Nicklas Lidström's correct. You're 2 for 2. Number three, what is the culinary term for when a baseball player catches a ball with the edge of his glove, with the ball usually halfway in the glove and halfway sticking out?
Culinary seems a little elevated. I think you're going for a snow cone here.
Yeah, I don't know many fine dining establishments where you can get a snow cone, but...
It's haute cuisine, bro.
You guys are eating at the wrong restaurants. That's what I'm doing.
Number four. Who was the important goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team from 1990 to 2007, remembered for his great consistency and his intense rivalry with fellow netminder Brad Friedel?
See, the one thing about like U.S. soccer is that like we've always had good keepers, but unfortunately that does make it a little hard to narrow this down. Is it Casey Keller?
It is Casey Keller.
Not too hard to narrow down, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I made the right guess this time. It's just went better for me than the Malice in the Palace question.
That's right. And number five, in the U.S., we call it a shutout, but in the U.K., what two-word term is used for when a goalkeeper allows no goals during a game?
I believe they call it a clean sheet.
It is a clean sheet, kind of like what you ran in that category.
Yeah, because he's not an idiot and didn't take the stick category.
That takes us to the shootout. We're going to let you know how the shootout works, and you will hear from Aaron on the other side of that. In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
All right, gentlemen, your shootout questions are as follows. Number one, the number of years ago that Talladega Superspeedway was opened. So take 2019 and subtract that from the year it was opened, and that is your answer. Since we had trouble with years earlier, I figured I'd throw that in there. Number two, the number of dollars in Steph Curry's 2018-19 season salary. It is the highest in the NBA. And number three, the highest number of points scored by one team in a single Super Bowl. And while they are thinking about these things, you can think about whatever we're going to talk about in the promo Brent inserts here.
You know, we have a new promo sitting us right in the face that we need more money so that Brent can buy more Stanley Cup swag.
Yep, sure do. I think that's our promo. Just plug that in somewhere. Done.
Cool.
We are back. The gentlemen have written down some numbers. Question number one, the number of years ago Talladega Super Speedway was opened. Greg, what did you put and why?
So I think it's NASCAR likes to make big deals out of milestone events. And for the life of me, I can't remember someone telling me that it's been 50 years at Talladega, which means it's either been a lot more than 50 years or less than 50 years. I'm going to go with 45 just because, I don't know, I don't trust the South to do anything right for a very long period of time. So that's what we're going to go with. We're going to go with 45.
All right, Tucker, what did you say?
I just like had like the nagging feeling that this was one of the really old NASCAR tracks. So I said 87 years ago.
All right, well, Talladega Super Speedway was opened in 1970. It is celebrating its 49th year. So, Greg, you have that to look forward to next year.
Oh, fantastic. 50 years at Talladega, everybody. So excited.
Okay, so Greg picks up the win for that. He was also within the 10%. He was only off by 4 years. Number two, the number of dollars in Steph Curry's 18-19 contract. Tucker, we'll start with you.
I couldn't remember exactly how much like the max was. I know he's making a lot of money right now. So I just said 37 million.
Okay. And Greg?
Yeah, same reason. Super max, but I know the team can offer more money than any other team, which is why I said $34.5 million.
Okay, they can offer more money than anybody else. They give him $37,457,154 US dollars, which is quite a lot of dollars. Tucker picks up the win on that one. He was only off by 457,154, which also would be a lovely check to get.
I wouldn't mind receiving that difference in the mail.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we are tied at one. Going into number three, the highest number of points scored by one team in a single Super Bowl. Greg, we will start with you.
I feel like there hasn't been a Super Bowl where a team has scored 50 points. And I know the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl from a couple years ago was the highest scoring Super Bowl of all time, I believe. With that being said, I'm just erring on the side of caution and saying 49 points.
And Tucker?
I want to say that there was, and don't ask me who played in this game, but the numbers of 55 to 10 stick out here, so I think it's 55 points.
They stick out because it was the Niners demolishing the Broncos in 1990, 55-10. So Tucker picks up the win for questions two and three. Tucker picks up 20 points in the shootout. Final score, Tucker 195, Greg 115. But don't let those scores fool you. Both gentlemen played a wonderful game, and I hope they enjoyed themselves.
It's always really close until the shootout.
Yeah, it's the way the shootout works. Mm-hmm. You can make up ground, but you can also put a ton of distance between yourself and the other guy.
Yeah.
I blame myself for thinking I know about sticks.
Yeah, that one's on you.
Yeah, that category choice kind of sunk you a little bit.
Yep.
What an idiot.
How could you have known like what those were going to be, honestly? I got lucky that the one
you
that
knew
said
two
defensive.
Of them, man. Don't tell me how you could know. I don't know.
So like the one that was like defensive that I took. Like I didn't even know that was going to be about defense. I was just like, I don't know. Maybe it's people who like got really like pissy in a press conference or something like that.
I should have just went with Thanksgiving. I know shit about Thanksgiving. Overthought it.
That also isn't what that category was about. So
Ben Affleck movies. That,
yeah. No, you're both wrong about that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Listen next week and you can find out maybe what that category was about. Greg, thank you very much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing? Perhaps plug a podcast?
Yeah. If you guys are interested in hockey, we're New York Rangers centric, but we also deal with a whole bunch of stuff that is not hockey related. We are Blue Shirts Breakaway. You can follow us at Blue Shirts Break. Our show goes up every Monday night, Tuesday morning. So for your Tuesday commute, you can hear myself and my buddy Ryan Mead talking about a whole lot of nonsense this time of year. We're 1 week away from the NHL draft. So the name Capo Caco sounds familiar. It's going to sound even more familiar by Friday.
Excellent. Thank you very much again for joining us, Ann Tucker.
Yeah, once again, I had a great time. Strong opponent, too. I was happy to get the W there. I'll also take this time to plug my podcast, because I guess that's what we're doing now. I co-host a movie comedy podcast called That Was Okay, I Guess, where if you're interested in just like totally forgotten Hollywood movies from the last 25 years, we just make a bunch of jokes about that for an hour each week. So check out the New York Rangers podcast, and also check out the one about kind of average-ish movies from the last 25 years.
All right, excellent. We will be sure to check that out. So for Greg and Tucker and Aaron, I am Brent, and we will see you next time you download. Yeah. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers, and the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer. Greg, here are your categories, and you can play these or pass them to Tucker. I love booty. I'm sorry, this is the second.
These are my categories. Back off.
I'm sorry. Wow,
it's going to be one of,
recordings. This is.
Sure is.
Stick it to the man. These are five questions about stick things in sports.
I'm excited.
Alrighty.
You were going to wait for a response. It didn't matter how long.
My computer just totally froze for a second, though.
Oh, no.
It's weird.
It'll happen. Yeah.
I think that means retroactively I get the win. I don't know the rules. I just follow them.
Yeah. That's a forfeit. You have to stay in the room the entire game.
That's right.